Good evening, everyone. You're in the right place at the right time. This is Coast to Coast AM, blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco, blazing across the land, into your town, into your home, slamming into your radio like a supercharged nanoparticle of unobtainium. Greetings to all of you from the boldest, bawdiest, most outrageous city in the world, the planetary capital of sun, fun, sin, sex, and secrets. My not-so-humble hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is George Knapp, your occasional host, designated driver of the airwaves, and moderator of tonight's upcoming cacophony of conversation. Glad you're spending some time with us on this Sunday evening, or whenever you're listening to the program. Outside, of course, the leaves are changing colors, shadows growing longer. Fall is in the air, and that means Halloween is just around the corner, a couple of days away. In the spirit of the season, then, I thought we might have some fun tonight by pursuing true life tales about black magic, witches, evil sorcerers, shapeshifters, and my favorite, skinwalkers. To you, sitting in the comfort of your home or your car or truck listening, maybe you're listening to the program during the light of day instead of the dark at night, and tales of werewolves or black magic practitioners who can change their form, assume animal shapes and abilities, sound too far away, too preposterous to worry about. But for thousands of years, those tales have been whispered with reverence and fear by indigenous peoples of North America, especially the tribes of the Southwest. To them, skinwalkers are as real as the trucks they drive to work, as real as the pets they feed in the evening. As I found out while working on a book about skinwalkers some years ago, most Navajo or Hopi, Apache or Ute don't want to talk about this stuff, not with strangers anyway, because they worry that by mentioning skinwalkers or shapeshifters, they might be invoking or inviting such beings into their lives, something they most assuredly do not want. To them, these stories are more than legends, more than tales to be told around the campfire, maybe to scare the kids into going to bed. They're real. And to their white neighbors who take the time to learn about Native beliefs and get to know these folks, the stories also take on a life of their own. Sometimes, the two worlds collide. The skinwalker stories come spilling into our modern world, such as the stories told about weird activity over hundreds of years in the Uinta Basin of northeastern Utah, but especially in the so-called Four Corners area of the Southwest. The striking mesas and vistas and valleys that are still home to tribes who say they've lived there since time began. They say they've been there ever since they came into this world from another world. It's real as anything else in this world, they say. One man who's had success in getting Native Americans to open up about their encounters with the unknown, with black magic, is my guest tonight, J.C. Johnson. He's one of the founders of Crypto Four Corners, a team of investigators which tracks down these stories about, you name it, dogmen, Bigfoot, giant snakes, living dinosaurs, and yes, skinwalkers in the region where Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah meet. JC is a professional outdoorsman and guide who's been called the Indiana Jones of cryptozoology. He was on the program earlier this year, but it killed me that I didn't get a chance to talk to him, so I've been sort of chomping at the bit to have him back and cover some of this stuff, and I want to hear about his latest project, which is a documentary about Navajo skinwalkers, some chilling stuff. He's also been hot on the trail about stories of black-eyed children, black magic, ultra-terrestrials, wolfmen, perfect material for the holiday season or the Halloween season or any season. J.C. Johnson will join me at the top of the hour, too, tonight to share with us some of the stories of his adventures tracking down these spooky tales, which he and these native tribes take very seriously. Before we do that, I wanted to bring back a guest who was here a couple of years ago to talk about problems that could erupt for any of the tens of thousands of people who choose to take a trip on a cruise ship each year. As we learned the last time Kendall Carver was here, if you take a cruise, you're on your own. There are all sorts of problems that can and do pop up out there on the high seas and not many protections for the ticket-buying public. The cruise ship industry is rich and powerful, and like anyone with a lot of money to spend, it's been able to buy plenty of friends in Washington, people who oppose any kind of regulation of big business. So the public continues to suffer. If you're thinking about taking a cruise this year or next or any time, then you need to hear about this. Some possible changes are in the wind, but might need your help. Kendall Carver is my first hour guest. He joins me in just a couple of minutes. By the way, tonight's webmaster, Tim Benall, is the guy who first told me about Mr. Carver and his organization. Tim also helped me put together tonight's collection of news items and oddities culled from many different sources over the past week or so. We call it Naps News. It's there on the Coast to Coast website if you want to take a look. Among the stories we snagged for tonight are a few that I think fit nicely into our later discussion. One is about crypto creatures of Hawaii, mystery beasts, little people, not all that dissimilar to the stories told by the native people on here on the mainland. Also, the story of the mysterious Dogon people of Africa. This is a tribe. You ever heard about these guys? This tribe says that they were contacted by aliens from the stars, and that encounter, that contact, has had permanent effects on the culture of the tribe. I remember reading about this in a Tom Robbins novel one time, and then later learned it's all too real. The tribe is real. Their beliefs are real. Interesting piece also about training for Navy SEALs that delves pretty deeply in what we might call remote viewing. I'm not sure what they call it. They might not want to call it that. And a story about how some people are trying to make the move to becoming cyborgs, really. Oh, and a link to a new website gives sort of gives the what for to the folks who call themselves skeptics, but are actually not skeptics. They're zealots with their own religious beliefs. The religion of debunking, I think you'd call it. That and a few other tasty tidbits, Naps News on the Coast site. With that, time for you to slip into those jammies, toss a log on the fire, pour a cup of Joe, and tuck yourself in. We take our first break, and we'll be right back with my first guest, Kendall Carver, and horror tales from the cruise line biz. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the program. Kendall Carver was president and CEO of the Washington National Life Insurance Company of New York. He held that position until he retired in 1995. Following the disappearance of his daughter aboard a cruise ship in August 2004, he began a lengthy quest for answers and hired private investigators, dug into the cruise ship industry, later founded a group for victims of cruise line crimes, and currently serves as chairman of this group, the International Cruise Victims Association. Glad to welcome him back to the program. Kendall Carver, glad you're back with us.
George, it's my pleasure.
For those who didn't hear you the last time you were here, can you give us sort of a recap how this tragedy in your life led you to uncover all sorts of problems in the cruise industry? Paint sort of a broad picture of how bad it is.
Well, it started off with our daughter, who was 40 years old, went missing. She lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The police traced her 3 weeks after she went missing to a cruise line ticket on Celebrity Cruises. We called them, asked about her daughter, if she was on their ship, and they said well, she was after a few days, but they couldn't tell us whether or not she got off or not. And we also asked, was there any video, and they said no. Well, that left us just hanging at that time. Marion had a 13-year-old daughter, so we started a process, and just very quickly, 4 months later, all we wanted to do was to speak to somebody on that ship that had seen our daughter, and that was the steward. That took 4.5 months, $75,000, two law firms, an international detective agency, to get to the steward to find out he had reported Marion missing daily. And he was told just to forget it and do his job. At the end, he said, what do we do with the stuff in the room? They said, just put it in a bag and put it in his supervisor's locker. And we'd asked about video. We'd sent the detectives on for video. They said there wasn't any. In 2008, they finally admitted that they had a video. They'd kept it for several months and then erased it. So all of a sudden, we realized we were dealing, George, with a cover-up. And then a book came out called Devil in the Deep Blue Sea. And that came out in June of 2005. And it indicated cover-up was the standard operating procedure. And it explained how they got the crew member off the ship. And what they explained is exactly what had happened to us. So it wasn't just us. If you're a victim, you think you're the only person in the world that has happened to. Turns out It happens all the time. There is no police on a cruise ship. Every 2 weeks, somebody goes missing. There have been 20 people this year that have gone missing on cruise ships, plus the sexual crimes and et cetera. So it's a problem that still is there. And Marion went missing 10 years ago. It's still there,
I
George.
guess you could say if you want to bump off your spouse, taking a cruise is a great way to get it done. You don't have to worry about an investigation.
Absolutely. In fact, in line with that, in 2012, with the hundreds of crimes, we were able to do a Freedom of Information Act request, finding close to 600 crimes. The FBI only opened 18 files, and there were only four convictions by the FBI on any crime on a cruise ship. It's the perfect place to commit a crime.
I think you told me before, last time you were here, that the nature of the people they hire on these ships, in fact, I think Tim Banal used, it's like a breakaway civilization, these staffers who live on the ships. I mean, they come from, some of them, pretty shady backgrounds, or there are very few background checks, right? I mean, you got some
Yeah.
bad characters out there.
Well, they come from, I guess you would say, marginal countries. They're paid very little. In fact, in the Netherlands, Royal Caribbean just in the last 2 weeks was fined $750,000 by the government for the working conditions of the people on the ship. So they're almost, I don't want to say they're slaves, but they're paid very, very little. Half the crimes are committed by crew members. In fact, there's a case that happened this year where a crew member raped a woman, then he tried to throw her overboard, and by the grace of God, she escaped, and they caught the guy. But it's just a world with you wouldn't feel comfortable in, and yet that's what people are traveling when they're on a cruise ship.
It seems like every month too, it's just not just crimes, it's other problems. Ships running aground or being adrift, food poisoning, all kinds of things that can go wrong out there.
Well, and now we're getting into Ebola. You saw that, or maybe you didn't see that the country of Belize in Mexico prohibited a cruise ship from entering their waters because one of the passengers had Ebola. They get all kinds of issues, health issues on a cruise ship. And it's hard, if not almost impossible, to sanitize a cruise ship. But you've got everything that happens. And there's little control and little the passenger could do because they're in a city that has all the functions of a city. The captain is, I guess you would say, acts as the mayor. The only thing they're missing, George, is there's no police. And with work crews that are getting minimal pay. So it's a dangerous environment.
You got sex crimes, you got disappearances, murders, you got lack of medical care on these ships, or at least adequate care. You got a staff that plays by its own rules and parties quite a bit. You got food and the sanitation issues. These are the kinds of stories that I think you were as instrumental in trying to get together a panel of victims who would testify to Congress. Wasn't easy getting them to testify, though, right?
Well, it hasn't been because we're up against powerful lobbies. But there's one crime that you didn't mention, robberies. If somebody's robbed for less than $10,000, it's not even reported to the FBI. So anybody that knows what they're doing just robs people for less than $10,000. But ultimately, in fact, in July, Senator Rockefeller held a hearing. And it was just for the victims. The cruise lines were excluded from this congressional hearing of the Senate Commerce Committee because he'd held two previous meetings, congressional hearings for the cruise lines, and really came to the conclusion that there was nothing they were doing to improve the situation. So that's why he brought just a panel of victims to testify to make the point of the problem that people face on cruise ships.
You mentioned you used FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, to get crime statistics, and there were 600 that were reported. Obviously, that's just tip of the iceberg because these are the only ones that get get reported. Even among those, very few are ever investigated or prosecuted.
Well, that's exactly right. As I said, in 1912 or 2012, there were only 18 files the FBI opened, and they only convicted four people. But the cruise lines a year ago said, well, we're going to report all alleged crimes because they knew that it was a problem the way the crimes were being reported. So they reported roughly 100 alleged crimes for all the cruise ships. Well, that's where we went in, and the Freedom of Information Act came up with close to 600 crimes that actually took place during that period of time. So, and let me just tell you what Carnival Corporation did. Carnival put four of their cruise lines together into one number so that it is impossible for anybody to determine the crime rate for Carnival Cruise Lines or Princess Cruise Lines or the other four other two cruise lines that they used. What turns out, under the Freedom of Information Act, Carnival Cruise Lines, which is just one of them, represented 95% of the crimes. The others were just small numbers, but that's why they combined them, so that a person cannot determine anything about a Carnival Cruise Line Corporation crime rate.
I remember reading one of your newsletters, you used the term dirty tricks to describe what the industry has done to sort of forestall or prevent any kind of additional regulation. What kinds of dirty tricks are you talking about?
Well, 4 years ago in 2010, we passed major legislation. And the intent was that all crimes would be reported, that there would be man overboard systems, etc. Well, little changes were made, clearly by the cruise lines, that nullified the effect of the bill. So instead of reporting all crimes, as was the intent of the bill, they only reported cases where the FBI opened a file, which might be 10% of them, and then closed the file. So that took hundreds of crimes and turned it into 15 a year is all that's being reported. Another thing that, and Rockefeller's trying to correct this is information the public should know. On sexual crimes, a third of the crimes, sexual crimes, are on minors. And the cruise lines do not want to put that information out. And their argument is we're highly regulated. Well, that just is not true. They are not highly regulated. They're regulated by flag states such as Panama and Liberia and the Bahamas, who take no action. So they've developed a business plan. It's very successful, where they use the services of 21 government agencies, pay nothing for it because they pay no taxes, and they're regulated by countries that do nothing. So it's a totally unregulated system that no hotel or a resort in this country could operate on that basis.
So this is gamesmanship. I mean, they're all, for all intents and purposes, businesses that are based here. They just call it like they're based somewhere else, so they don't have to pay taxes and they don't have to play by our rules. They can reap the profits of doing business here, but not have any of the responsibilities.
Absolutely. In fact, we put out a bulletin earlier this year, and the title of it was How to Avoid Regulations. Tell the world you're already highly regulated. And it clearly is not the case. In fact, in June of this year, the major maritime trade association, Nautilus, came up with a two-page article in their magazine. Nautilus represents the senior management, the captains that drive the ships. And the bottom line statement that they made in this two-page article, that the regulations are bankrupt. They're not corrupt, they're bankrupt. There are no regulations. And why shouldn't there be regulations? Airlines have regulations, trains have regulations, but the cruise line industry has been very successful in avoiding regulations, and the statement they like to make, oh, we're highly regulated, that just is not true.
You're being too mean to them. I know they passed something called a Bill of Rights for passengers, right? That's got to be, that sounds like it really is protection for them. Or I'll tell you what, Kendall, we're going to be taking a break here in a second. When we come back, I'll talk to you about this Bill of Rights for passengers, what it does and does not mean. And then we'll get into some discussion about ideas that Senator Rockefeller has and whether or not these can be implemented or not, whether or not the industry just has too much power to impose any kind of meaningful regulation on them. B-52s with a little tune about world travel, sort of, taking us into the break. Stay with us. Much more to come on Coast to Coast. Great song from the Beatles, Revolution. Next time I'm here, we'll play the slow version of that song that was recorded on the Mind Blowing White album. I'm not sure which one of those I like better. We're talking with Kendall Carver about problems on cruise ship lines, and you have to wonder, does the cruise ship industry have so much juice, so much money in Washington that they can't be regulated? We'll get into that. Take a couple of your questions a little bit later in this hour. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast AM. Kendall Carver, you must get asked this a lot. Are you suggesting, either directly or indirectly, that people should not buy a ticket on a cruise ship?
Well, if you buy a ticket on a cruise ship, we're not anti-cruise ship. We just want accountability. And if you buy a ticket, this is one of the issues that Senator Rockefeller is addressing. It should be in clear English that the people can understand. When you buy a ticket on a cruise ship, if you read the fine print, which you'd need to be a maritime lawyer to read, you're literally giving up your rights to the basic safety features that you should have. And it's a document that, frankly, the cruise lines use against you, not for you, but against you. And it would take, as I say, a maritime lawyer to really understand it.
Meaning if something happens out there, they can just point to this and say, well, you signed this.
Absolutely. In other words, if a crime occurs, you got to go to the courts in Florida. Most people can't go to the courts in Florida. You're literally giving up your rights. The Costa Concordia, which ran aground, they are making the victims of that disaster go to Italy at their expense to be analyzed by psychiatrists. Well, somebody here in the United States to fly to Italy and be exposed to their psychiatrist is just re-victimizing the victim. And that's what they use the ticket for, frankly.
Disney has cruise lines now. I would think a good company like that you could count on that being fairly safe since you're going to take your kids, your family on a Disney cruise line.
Well, that brings up an interesting news item that came out a couple of years ago. A CBS station in Florida was able to get video of one of their employees molesting an 11-year-old girl while the ship was still in port. They got that video. Now, Disney knew about it before that ship ever left, but what did they do? They did nothing. They didn't call the police. They left port, went a day, and then they reported the crime. So it was outside the ability of the local police to take any action. When they got to the Bahamas, what'd they do? They let the crew member go back to India again. Now, of all companies to do something like that, and fortunately, this station actually got the video of the girl being molested, which they knew and it was reported. Frankly, you also have the issue of pedophiles on a lot of these cruise ships. If you take your child to a place here in the United States, a daycare center, those people are heavily screened. On a cruise ship, they're not screened, and you have all kinds of issues that come up. So that is one of the issues that Rockefeller is trying to get to, is that all of these crimes be reported so the public knows where they are. Wouldn't you want to know that a third of all the sexual crimes are against minors if you're going to take your kids on a ship?
Absolutely. Now, again, I want to go back to the question I asked a couple of minutes ago, is that you have to be careful about what advice you give people about whether they should or should not take a get on a cruise ship, I guess, because if you were to say don't do it, they could come after you, right? And I'm sure that there was lots of reasons for them to want to come after you.
I'm sure there are lots of reasons. The answer is we're not here to discourage or take down the cruise industry. That's impossible. We're just here to make them safer and build an awareness in the public. This show is building an awareness in the public that there are crime issues on a cruise ship that people need to be aware of. And so oftentimes they get on, they think everything is fine, and unfortunately everything is not fine. There is no police. And let me rephrase it another way, George. If somebody came to Reno or wherever, said, we're going to open up a resort, we're going to lock the doors when you come on for a week, there's going to be unlimited drinks, and there's no police, and if something happens, we won't call the police, they wouldn't even be able to open the business. And yet that's exactly what's happening on a cruise ship. They're serving unlimited drinks, there's no policeman, and there's no convictions of crimes.
I read about this Bill of Rights for passengers that the industry started. Did they start this up as a way to sort of sidestep you, to take some of the steam out of your movement?
Well, they clearly it was a public relations step, and it actually was started by Senator Schumer, saying that, hey, airlines have a Bill of Rights for passengers. There are certain things they have to do. We need something like that for the cruise industry. So the cruise industry all of a sudden one day said, oh, we're going to have a Bill of Rights. That's a great idea. They sent it to Senator Schumer to look at a day before they released it. He, in turn, immediately wrote back a four-page detailed letter on every item, what all the issues were that were not being covered by their Bill of Rights. They ignored that and went ahead and put it out strictly as a public relations move. The passengers gained no additional rights with their Bill of Rights.
Talk to me about the industry, how much power it has in Washington. Have they basically bought themselves into a point where they don't have to worry about regulation?
Well, let me give you an example. Earlier this year, I read in Travel Weekly, which is a cruise line magazine, that the National Transportation Board was going to hold a two-day seminar on cruise ship safety. Well, gee, I mean, so... coming out of a travel magazine, we were suspicious. So we wrote and said, we want to participate in this two-day seminar for the National Transportation Safety Board. Well, we were not given that opportunity. The only people that were able to speak were the cruise line representatives, the Bahamas, which flags 1,600 ships, and they only have six full-time technical experts in London. It's a joke. And somebody from the IMO, so that the person at the, for Congress, what the cruise lines have done, they've hired former government officials. They hired the former chairman of the National Transportation Board. So at the last hearing that Rockefeller had with the cruise lines didn't testify. They had this former chairman of the National Transportation Board. The next thing we have is this meeting set up in Washington. Guess who they put in charge at the National Transportation Safety Board for Maritime Safety? A person with limited qualifications who worked for the cruise lines. She'd been on the board of one of the cruise lines. So they've infiltrated the regulatory status of the very people that regulate them. So for the National Transportation Safety Board to hold a meeting on cruise ship safety and exclude or include, let me phrase it this way, only the people that caused the problem made the whole thing a joke. Now, we, in effect, people go to our website at www.internationalcruisevictims.org, submitted a 51-page detailed report of all the issues, but we were not allowed to present it and be part of the panel. It was only the people that were frankly guilty. What they've done, George, they've gone and hired the number three guy from the FBI. They've hired the chief lobbyist for the FBI, the former head of the National Transportation Safety Board. They've gone to the Coast Guard, hired former admirals as their, quote, consultants. And they've been very effective. I give them credit. It's amazing what money can do.
I imagine they have a lot of clout on Capitol Hill. I mean, all they got to do is say, we create big jobs in port cities. And then, there's an element that think that any kind of regulation, any kind of oversight of any big industry is evil.
Absolutely. Well, it would be like they say we shouldn't pay taxes because we bring people to whatever city they go to, let's say Miami. Well, it'd be like the airlines say they fly people to Phoenix, tourists, so we shouldn't pay taxes. The airlines shouldn't pay taxes. That's ridiculous. As I say, they're using the services of 21 government agencies. Again, Senator Rockefeller has figured this out and has proposed that they be taxed.
I'll tell you what, I want to get to his proposals, the specifics of it in a moment, but there's a couple of folks on the line, I think, that might have their own stories. On the wildcard line, Mike in Connecticut. Mike, how you doing? You're on with Kendall Carver.
Hey, good morning, George, for taking my call. More people need to listen to this discussion about the fact that there's no regulation here at the Yankee ships. People buy a ticket and they say, oh, everything's great. I'm going on a cruise ship, you know, everybody's nice and wonderful. You would think that most of these big ships would have a small police department with holding cells, but they don't. From this conversation, I learned that many of them don't, or all of them don't. Is that true, sir?
Yeah, in fact, they take the legal position that they don't have to investigate crimes. That's the legal position, and the security work for the cruise ships. And half the crimes are committed by crew members. But their legal position is they're under no obligation to investigate crimes.
Thanks, Mike. I guess the Love Boat, I remember the Love Boat didn't have a sheriff, but it did have a doctor, a ship doctor, I think. Do these guys have enough medical facilities? Do they have qualified medical folks to take care of emergencies that might pop up out there?
Well, in line with that, George, the doctor of the cruise ship does not work for the cruise lines. He's an independent contractor. So if he screws up, you have to sue this doctor if you can find him, but not the cruise lines. Number two, the second thing they do, if somebody gets sick in the middle of nowhere, they get them off the ship, and they might leave them in some port in Mexico or wherever it is. And we have this woman that testified in Washington that they took her mother and left her at a dock in the middle of nowhere. And then the people on their own had to go through customs. All of the mother died, but they just get them off the ship as fast as they can. And the doctor, the only person you can really sue is the doctor.
First-time caller Keisha in San Diego, which is a big-time port of call for cruise ships. Hi, Keisha. You're on with Kendall Carver.
Hi, I worked on a cruise ship many years ago, and I just wanted to know, as far as crime is concerned, if someone would make light of the drug smuggling that goes on the cruise ship, because I recall a couple crew members when we were in the Caribbean got caught with cocaine, and they were young kids, and they ended up being thrown in jail in that port of call. I forget what it was, one of the islands, and that's another crime that's committed. And also, the thing that upset me was when, as a crew member, when my contract ended, I got my passport back, and it looked like it had been tampered with, and my picture was taken out of it. Huh. So I just, I was just wondering, because we did a lot of ports, and I was just wondering, there's a lot of things. If someone would make light of that also.
Hey, Keisha, hold on there as we get Kendall's reaction to your call.
Yeah, well, I mean, the horror stories that we hear from crew members they're just amazing, the number of stories that we get. And that, frankly, has been one of the assets that we've obtained is people have joined ICV as a friend. We have no dues. But so many of these have been crew members who have brought us this kind of information, which has been invaluable to us. On our board, we have the former head of, on the executive committee, the former head of security for Princess Cruise Lines. We have a captain Michael Lloyd in London, a renowned expert who's written many books, who have come to us, and they're on the executive committee to assist in the kinds of issues that only a crew member would be aware of.
Keisha, you might want to check out the website there. I think that Kendall might like to hear a little bit more about what you just shared with us. With these guys who were smuggling drugs, was it a lot of drugs?
I don't know, but there were rumors about it, especially when we were in the Caribbean. And I remember there was two crew members who had got caught, because when you go into port, they bring a drug dog through to check everybody in the crew cabin. And every, you know, to sniff around and make sure, because people would hide things, you know, and things like that. And I remember I never wanted anyone in my room, because I was afraid that they were going to, like, stash or hide something in my room and everything. So I was just, like, really paranoid, because it was just, you know, that was one of the things I, you know, people who had more experience being on the cruise warned me about. Just like if someone wants to hold something in your room, don't let them hold anything in your room, because they could have been smuggling drugs and they're trying to hide it from the port police and things like that. And I just remember that paranoia.
Yeah, Keisha, thank you for sharing that with us. Appreciate it. I Kendall, I'm kind of amazed that they even have drug dogs come on. I guess if they're going to check for anything, they'd check for that.
Well, but drugs, it's well known that drugs are smuggled on cruise ships. And I don't think there's a lot of dogs that go on the ship. They probably, you know, have certain security in place. But clearly, there's been many cases of finding significant drugs on cruise ships. However they get them on, they get them on. But another issue that we have with crew members is women crew members that are raped by other crew members, but they're afraid to say anything. Because that's where they are. They're locked on the ship. That's their job. But there's drinking that goes on. There's sexual crimes against crew members. Yeah. That's a major problem.
I'm sure there are, you know, thousands of people take cruises every year and have a perfectly nice time. I've taken them in the past and had a mostly nice time. Nothing, no terrible crimes or anything. But the kind of protections you're talking about would apply to everyone. Senator Rockefeller wants to institute some changes. Tell us what they are and how likely it is he's going to get this on.
Well, Senator Rockefeller is really figured out the cruise line industry. He's held three hearings in the last 3 years. In the last one, in June or July, he literally gave up on the cruise lines and just had victims from our organization and some other victims testify at this hearing. He's figured out, you know, they avoid the taxes, they don't protect the passengers, and his attempt is to make the public disclosure of all of these crimes so the public is aware of it. Here in the United States, if you have a crime in a particular area, that becomes a national statistic. You can't determine who the individual was, but you can determine how many rapes there were in a certain area. That becomes public information. So far, and that was frankly the intent of our first bill, that has been avoided by the cruise lines. He wants the crimes, sexual crimes against children, minors, to be exposed. And that's the last thing the cruise lines want to happen. He wants to give set up committees to study the issues. And ultimately, we need independent people on those ships who don't work for the cruise lines to protect the passengers. And he wants a hotline, somebody in Washington, that these passengers can call when they have these major problems. What happens today if a woman's raped, if she reports it? They call us. Well, we're here to comfort them and help them and say, join us. But we don't have the power of the government. And he's trying to get that so that people can call somebody to take action. Actually, right today, if a crime occurs on a cruise ship, you have the right to go directly to the FBI on a confidential hotline.
All right. Well, Kendall, we're out of time. But Kendall Carver, I hope that our listeners, anybody who's thinking about taking a cruise, will at least check your website. We have links to internationalcruisevictims.org on our website. And I hope you'll come back and give us some good news sometime if this legislation actually gets passed.
It gets through right after the election. That's the game plan.
All right. Well, I wish you luck. Thanks. And I hope we'll have you back on sometime to give us some good news.
Thanks, George.
All right. Bobby Darin, Beyond the Sea, takes us into the break. Thought that was an appropriate song at this point. J.C. Johnson, the Indiana Jones of cryptozoology, is next here on Coast to Coast.